And did you enjoy that music?
Yes.
Wow, that was really great. What a blessing that is. Aren't we blessed here at Lake Hazel Bible Church?
Indeed.
I know that you know that. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. We are so grateful that you've chosen to come and worship with us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out. Either drop it in the offering plate or leave it on the information table. That would be so helpful to us. And hopefully you also received the bulletin. And hopefully the rest of you stopped by Don on your way in and he said hi to you and you got a bulletin. So open it up and let's take a look at what's going on around here. Right after our morning worship service, we are having our church family dinner. And if you are a guest, I want to encourage you to stay. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's a potluck. No, it's a church family dinner. That means the church family has provided the dinner. So whether you brought anything or not, you are welcome to stay and join us for lunch. And by the way, we are going to have some of the chili from yesterday's chili cook-off for our men's. And so it was really good. There was lots of good chili here. So you're going to want to stay, and you're going to want to have some of that really good chili. Oh, and by the way, the person who won isn't here yet. He went home yesterday to refill his crock pot full of chili, and I see he hasn't arrived yet. But Shane Bonner is the one who won the men's chili cook-off yesterday. So when you see him, congratulate him. And then when he gets here with his crock pot of chili, then you'll be able, oh, here it comes.
Here he comes.
Shall we all watch? Everybody watch.
Oh, yeah.
Watch as it comes through the door.
Ah,
what?
They're not here yet.
They're not here yet.
When he walks through the door, I have to cheer.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, when he walks through the door, cheer or something.
Hey, good
okay.
news, there's plenty of second place chili as well.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Guess who's was second place? All right, okay. So, Tuesday night, men, we have men's Bible study here at the church at 6:30. Remember, this is a time change. So, those of you men that have been coming to men's Bible study, and this is to open to anybody who is interested, any male. So if you'd like to come and be a part of men's Bible study, you are more than welcome to be able to do that. 6:30 p.m. here at the church. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Olive Garden. Now, Joy stands for Just Older Youth, but you don't have to be an old person to come and enjoy lunch with us. And so if you have the time available to be able to come, meet us at Olive Garden at noon, and we're just going to have a great time. Thursday night is our youth ministry, Awana, and it is home run night because it's baseball season. And by the way, the Mariners advance and if they win this series, they go to the World Series. So I don't know, could be big stuff. All right, Saturday, ladies, women's conference from 10 a.m. to 4:30. Today is the last day you have to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out on the information table, or you could probably just tell Diane. So, Diane, give a wave so that people will know where you're at. It's going to be a great conference, ladies. Catherine Wright, who's part of the GES, she lives in South Carolina. She's going to come and she's going to share with us with you ladies on Saturday. And then Sunday morning after church, she's going to have a session with you as ladies as well. So if you haven't signed up, please make sure that you do that. If you're planning on coming,
there
it is. The award-winning chili walked through the door. We don't care about Shane and his family. It's just the chili, right? At least for today. All right. So ladies, if you don't have this on your calendar to be able to come and attend, please put it on your calendar to be able to attend. It'll be a great time for each and every one of you. Well, there's some more announcements in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to be here. So before the service, if you were paying attention, Dave and Carissa played part of, in their medley of hymns, played part of "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, My Great Redeemer's Praise." That's why we're here. But we only have one tongue. So you know what? This morning, let's use it to praise Him. Amen? Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me as we begin?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever. I keep is praying, Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his host. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, he arose, he arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for rising from that grave, for not staying on that old rugged cross, for not staying in that grave, but rising again. Lord, thank you for securing our future. Thank you for offering it to us by faith. Thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. We love you. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated as we continue. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Every once in a while we get a requested song, and so if you have a song that you would like for us to try, let me know. This is one of those songs.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit.
because you died and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Lord, we are here for you today. We're here to lift you up, to praise you, to magnify your name. So, Lord, we give you all glory today. Amen. As we take this morning's offering, we're going to sing about that glory. Glorious day. Oh boy, that day we look forward to.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. And that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Oh, death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Oh, one day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Amen. One day he's coming. Do you believe it? One day he's coming. Do you live like it? Whoa. I could say I believe it. Can I say I live it? That's a whole different story, Pastor Sam. But it could be today. Amen? And wouldn't that be a glorious day? Whenever it happens, it's going to be a glorious, glorious day. All right, children, come on up. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. Thank you so much for these songs that we've been able to sing, these hymns, these spiritual songs. Father, how they lift our hearts, how they put our minds and our hearts in a place of being able to learn more about you, to be able to learn more from your word. And that's what we're going to do. And so, Father, I pray that you'll just give us what it is you know that we need. And, Father, help us to take it with us and help us to live it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. We are continuing on in our study of a heritage of trusting God. So we've already looked at the life of Abel. We've already looked at the life of Enoch. And today we're going to look at the life of Noah. And I found some things that I found interesting about Noah. So I'm going to read them to you as part of our introduction this morning. So God came to Noah and said, in 1 year I'm going to make it rain enough to cover the whole earth with water until all flesh is destroyed. But I want you to save you and your family, and I'm commanding you to build an ark. Then in a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for an ark. In fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year. Exactly 1 year later, fierce storm clouds covered the earth. The Lord saw that Noah was sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, he shouted, where is the ark? Oh, Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there were big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction, and your plans did not meet the codes. I had to hire an engineering firm and redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether the ark needed a fire sprinkler system and flotation devices. Then my neighbors objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard. So I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. Then I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owl. I finally convinced the U.S. Forest Service that I needed the wood to save the owls. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service would not let me catch any owls. So no owls. The carpenters formed a union and went out on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations Board before anyone would pick up a saw or a hammer. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, I got sued by an animal rights group. They objected to me only taking two of each kind aboard. Just when I got that suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They did not take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the building plans of the creator of the universe. Then the Army Corps of Engineers demanded a map of the proposed new floodplain. So I sent them a globe. Oh, I thought you'd like that one. The IRS has seized my assets, claiming that I'm building the ark in preparation to flee the country to avoid paying taxes. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. I really don't think I can finish the ark for another 5 or 6 years, Noah sadly explained. The sky began to clear, the sun began to shine. Noah looked up hopefully. You mean you're not going to destroy the earth? No, said the Lord. I don't have to. The government already has. Now, obviously, right, this isn't exactly the way that it happened, okay? Especially as it's recorded for us in the Bible. So we're going to look this morning at the narrative about Noah from God's word. And it's interesting, we don't have to get into the Bible very far. We don't have to get into chapter 6 very far in order to find out some things about Noah. And here's one of the first things. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is told to us before Noah ever starts building the ark. This is told to us before God ever has a conversation with Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, which is interesting because Noah's community was a mess. That's the first point. If you're taking notes on the back of the bulletin, that's the first point. Noah's community was a mess. Hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 6. Follow along as I read verses 5 through 7. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the earth, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. Wow. Noah's community was a mess. Now, if you don't think that's bad enough, for more evidence of the wickedness on the earth, look at verses 11 and 12. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So after reading these verses, I think we would all agree that before the flood, the earth was a mess. And now in this present time, we see that it isn't any better. In fact, Jesus said it was going to be like this. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Jesus said, "For as were the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Lord," the coming of the Son of Man. His coming is going to be a glorious day. We just sang about that, didn't we? And we're anticipating that day, that glorious day. But Jesus said before that day happens, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. In fact, it could be probably a little bit worse. This declaration from Jesus refers to the truth that the world will be just as wicked when Jesus returns for believers as it was during the days of Noah. So living in this world at this present time, why are we surprised? Why are we shocked? When we see the violence, when we see the wickedness, when we see the lawlessness, when we see people not following God, not having a care as they live their lives about God or God's word, why are we surprised? Because Jesus said, this is the way it's going to be before I come. And it's exactly that way today. So you know what that tells us? We're living in the last seconds. We're not living in the last days. We're not living in the last hours. We're not living in the last minutes, folks. We are living in the last seconds. Jesus could come. That glorious day could happen at any moment. I keep praying for today. I keep praying for today. We can all relate to Noah's time because things are a mess in this world in which we live. Now, there are some of us here this morning that's old enough to remember when it really wasn't like this. Do you remember growing up when we didn't have air-conditioned homes? So each night before we went to sleep, we would open all the windows for the fresh breeze to enter our homes to keep us comfortable. Also, we would leave the front door open so that the cool breeze could enter our homes to keep us comfortable through the unlocked screen door. Do you remember that? How many of you remember that? If you think that's a foreign concept, Google it, okay? That's the way it used to be. I grew up in those days, okay? But we can't do this today. We can't do this today because of the evil of our day. In the days of Noah, the wickedness of mankind abounded. Yet, in this mess, God's word tells us that God found a righteous and blameless man. That's point two if you're taking notes. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Genesis chapter 6. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." Aren't those sweet words? Noah walked with God. Remember last week we talked about Enoch, who walked with God. And he walked with God day in and day out. And eventually God just said, "No, Enoch, just come on home. Just come to my place." Enoch didn't see death because God, what does it say? God just took him. Isn't that good? And now we see that Noah walked with God. Wow. Okay. God saw the mess, but he also saw a man. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Mankind had made the earth a place of wickedness and lawlessness. Mankind was living for immorality, for money, possessions, position, power, honor. Mankind at that time had no regard for God, and all mankind could think of was living for himself. Evil in the world created a problem. What was the problem? Well, God had already made a promise that he would always have a godly line of people that he would use to bring the Savior into the world. Remember his conversation with Adam and Eve after they sinned? God said, "I'm sending one that's going to take care of this issue of sin." So how did God do this? Well, he looked upon the evil world and he found a man. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And God would use Noah and his family. Look at verses 8 through 10. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Wow. God looked over the entire world, and Noah was noticed by God to be a righteous and blameless man. I want you to notice something here. God saw Noah. Noah had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God said he's a righteous and blameless man before Noah ever swung a hammer to start building the ark. So you know what that tells us? That our favor with God has nothing to do with our works. It has everything to do with God's grace. It has everything to do with God's grace. You can't do one thing. You can't do one small thing or big thing or anything in between small and big to be able to earn God's favor. The only thing you can do is believe in what he did for you on the cross, as he sent Jesus to that cross so that you could know God's redemption, so that you could know God's reconciliation, so that you could know God's promise for eternal life. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was declared by God a righteous and blameless man before he ever did one thing to be able to please God. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? It's not about works, folks. It's about belief. Noah obviously believed, and that's where his favor in God's eyes came from. That's where his declaration by God of being righteous and blameless came from, not anything that he did. Now, this is the first time that the words righteous and blameless are used. And the words mean to be upright, honest, and virtuous. And just like Noah, our lives can reflect that we are too. The word blameless does not mean sinless perfection. Even though we may be accused of all kinds of evil, it is our responsibility to make sure that the accusations are not true. Noah was known for being a godly person. So should we. So should we. God also had a message. Look at verses 13 through 22 of Genesis chapter 6. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Now a cubit is about 18 inches, so you do the math. Its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him to be able to do. God had a message. What was that message? In these verses, God instructed Noah to build an ark. And God gave him detailed information on how to build the ark. The dimensions of the ark are clearly given in verses 16 through 17. God said, this is how you are going to build it. Well, by the way, I've already done the math. So we're going to do it in a way, I'm going to give you those specifications again so that you'll be able to understand it. The ark was to be 450 feet long, 75 feet high. Make a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. On these decks, you could fit 20 college basketball courts. The ark was 1.5 football fields in length, and as wide as a football field is wide. The ark was four stories high. The inside of the ark was over 100,000 square feet. Wow. And there's a picture of the Answers in Genesis replica of the ark, built according to the specifications given in Genesis chapter 6. That thing is huge. I've been there twice. If you've never been there and you're going somewhere close by it in eastern Kentucky, you need to go and see it. It will blow your mind. This wasn't a small thing. In fact, the thing that kept coming back to me, the two times that I've been to that ark and I walked on every one of those decks and I walked from the back to the front and from the front back to the back, was that there was no problem. There would have been no problem getting all of the population of the world into that ark at the time that the ark was built by Noah. There was no problem. Because I've had people say, well, so Noah just built this thing big enough for some animals and big enough for just his family. The reason why no one else but his family was allowed in there was it wasn't big enough. No. God had Noah build it big enough so that the entire population, if they believed in what it is that God's message was, they would have fit into the ark without any trouble at all. You go visit it, you'll get that same impression. It is massive, okay? All right? It is amazing. And the dimension of the ark tells us that Noah could not build this ark alone. Noah had to have plenty of time, talent, help, and finances to be able to do this. God gave the instructions for how the ark was to be built, and Noah was expected to obey. You know what? God has given us instructions in his word, and we're expected to obey those instructions. But sometimes we don't, do we? Oh, we know what God's word says. Oh, we hear preachers on TV or the radio or here at church. We open up God's word, reread the New Testament. We read what it is that God expects us as believers in Jesus for the promise of eternal life to be able to do. And we go, yeah, not for me. Oh, that's for someone else. Not for me. That's for so-and-so. That's for my neighbor. That's for that person that sits behind me at church. That's not for me. We're given instructions, and yet we choose often not to follow those instructions. Can I ask you a question? Who do we think we are that we know better than God? That we can follow our own instructions instead of the instructions that he clearly has given to us in his word? Noah could have said, there's no way in the world, God, I'm going to do this. Do you know what it is that you're asking? Noah could do the math and say, this thing's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of talent. It's going to take a lot of money. I can't do this. But the Bible doesn't say Noah even said that. God said, this is what I want you to do. And Noah started working. Noah started doing. Not so that he could have favor in God's eyes. That already came. But so that he could be obedient to God. God has given us instructions. Not for us to find favor in his eyes. But because we believe in him. Because we believe in what he did for us through Jesus. And what Jesus did for us on the cross. But sometimes we choose not to obey. There was a man who said to his friend, my wife and I enrolled Molly, our lovable but dumb Cocker Spaniel, in a 10-week obedience class. At the end of the term, Molly had made little progress. We re-enrolled her, but at the end of the second course, Molly was still noticeably behind her canine classmates. The instructor, perhaps determined to succeed with our dog, offered to let her repeat the course for the third time at no charge. The man who had enrolled Molly was telling his friend Molly was the only dog in her class to get a scholarship because she didn't obey? How did Noah respond to what God told him? Look at verse 22. It says, Noah did this. Noah did this. So when God says to you, be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. When God says, pray without ceasing. When God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of such, but come together so that you may find encouragement and help in times of need. When God says, lift your praise to him. When God says, let his word dwell richly in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. Who are we to say, not going to do it? Not going to do it. God asked Noah to do something big that he's not going to ask us to do. And what does it say? Noah did this. This morning, if you don't take anything away from this, I want you to walk out of this place saying to yourself and saying to God, God, what it is you've instructed me in your word, I'm going to do. I'm going to be like Noah. Noah did this. And it doesn't stop there. Keep reading in verse 22. He did all that God commanded him. So class. Does all mean all? Does that mean that when I read the instructions that God has given me in his word, I can pick and choose? Nope. It means all. Noah did all that God had commanded him to. Obedience takes commitment. I know you're all sitting there going, no, duh, Pastor. But you know what? Sometimes we lose sight of that. Obedience takes commitment. Noah was committed to doing what God had asked him to do. We need to have that same commitment. So what do I want you to take away from this morning? Let me give you a couple things. Noah was described as having favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was described as righteous and blameless. Does that describe you? And if your answer is no, then why not? Then why not? Then why not? Father, thank you for what it is that you have shown us here from Genesis chapter 6 in the life of Noah. Noah walked with you. Father, Noah heard your word and he responded. He obeyed. He obeyed all that you had instructed him to do. What a lesson that is for us. He didn't do it to find favor with you. He didn't do it so that you could declare him to be righteous and blameless. That came before he ever started following your word. What a lesson that is to us. That we don't follow your instructions so that we have salvation. We follow your instructions because we have your salvation. Because we believe in what Jesus has done for us. And with the moment that we believe, you give to us all that comes with that action of redemption. Father, you give us the promise of eternal life. You give us reconciliation. And Father, you give us your Holy Spirit. Father, you give us all that it is that you know. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says you give us all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings at the moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior. Father, may the same description of Noah be our description today. And if it isn't, help us to be able to answer honestly the question, why not? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? And as we sing this, you may or may not know it, but if you don't, read those words on the screen and pray through this as we sing this last song. Thank you.
greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. With all I am, I'll live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you'd let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you, I'll trust in you. I will live to love you, I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. You are the voice that called the universe to be. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. To bring